So we are in week two, right? We're in our second week of Mindful Living, our tribute to Mental Health Awareness Month. And I believe that it's fitting in this moment to honor those who epitomize what resilience and faith is. And those are often our mothers, our grandmothers, and those who have been instrumental in our faith journey. They have provided us with foundational tools of faith to help us navigate through life and to hold on to the unwavering faith while they're going through their own storms. So before we just dive into the word, I do want us to just pray. And it's just going to be a simple prayer. Lord, open our ears to hear what you have to say. Open our minds to the depths of your word. Open our hearts to receive. Open our spirits to be ignited to carry out your word. Today, do what only you can do. Transform us into what you have created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, we're going to be going into a topic called faith anchors. Now, when we think about anchors, an anchor is a device that is used to secure a vessel to the bed or foundation of a body of water to prevent it from drifting due to wind or current. Do we have a copy of a picture of an anchor? I love this picture of an anchor. I'm not sure what's going on at the top, what's going on, you know, above the waters, but right there, you see all of the current and everything. And plus, it kind of looks like a cross, and it just, it's beautiful. So it was just, when I saw this picture, I was like, huh, Lord, we are in this Mental Health Awareness Month, and we're talking about anchors. And oftentimes, our anchors get thrown when we're moving through life. Oftentimes, in the midst of the different currents and the storms, we see shifting. But what happens is, if you can see, one part of that anchor is bedded into the ground. And that is what keeps us. So we're going to be talking about what it looks like to have faith anchors. These faith anchors serve a purpose kind of similar to the physical or anchors that we see there. It provides stability, security, and direction, like I said, in the midst of life's challenges and uncertainties. If I had to define what they actually are, I would say that they, number one, are people who provide us with spiritual and emotional and mental stability. And they also give us our confidence and faith during these uncertain situations and times. Faith anchors are also things that help us cultivate our spiritual gifts, our spiritual practices, disciplines, and they secure us in our faith. They secure our faith in a position that provides us with a strong spiritual foundation. Now, to help us understand these faith anchors just a little more, I want to look at the relationship between Timothy, his grandmother, his mother, and then Timothy and Paul. And we see this in 2 Timothy. But before you go turning your pages or flipping, however we do through our eyeness, I just want to give you a little background about Timothy. Timothy was born to a mixed family. His grandmother and his mother, Lois and Eunice, were Jewish women, and it was presumed that they were married to Greek men. It is believed that somewhere during the first, Paul's first journey, missionary journey to Lystra, around AD 46 through 48, Paul encountered these women. And through their encounters with Paul, they converted from the Jewish faith to Christianity. Now, this is where the foundation of Timothy's faith begins. Now, during Paul's second journey to Lystra, somewhere about AD 49 through 51, he heard about this young man. He heard about this young Timothy, who was well known among the believers in that city, in the surrounding city. He had influence. He had people listen to him, and he had the ability to cross cultural lines because of his own background. When Timothy was roughly in his late teens or maybe 20s, he then joined Paul on the missionary journey. Now we're going to pick up the story or pick up in the letter that Paul has written to Timothy. And at this time, when Paul writes this second letter, this is not the first, the second letter to Timothy, Timothy is probably around 30 to 40 years old. And he's facing challenges in ministry while he's in Ephesus. He's overseeing the church. He's dealing with some unwelcome attitudes. He's dealing with some false teachings. He's dealing with a whole bunch of oppositions within the church. And though he's in his 30s and 40s, that might seem old to us, but at that time, during that time, that was pretty young. I know. It seems unheard of, but he was pretty young at that time, and it seemed that it could be intimidating for him. But Paul, who himself, again, who is in prison and facing possible execution, he's so concerned about Timothy's well-being. After all, Timothy, he was leaving Timothy in Ephesus alone. And this was a big step. But he makes it a point, in the midst of everything that he's going through, to give some encouragement, to start speaking life into Timothy, because he understands the weight. And he wants to remind him of his calling. He wants to remind him of his faith foundation. So let's go ahead and turn to the scriptures. We're going to go to our main scripture, and that is 2 Timothy 1:1 through 7. And you can read along with me. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did. As without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call the remembrance of the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, your mother, Eunice. And I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. I mean, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Though we will be going through a couple of scriptures today, I want you to bookmark this one. There's a lot to unpack here, so hold on to it. But let's go back and look at verse 5. It says, When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. In this verse, Paul helps us to identify Lois and Eunice as Timothy's first faith anchors. He emphasizes that their faith was so sincere and authentic. Their belief in God and his word was so genuine. And it is seen as a legacy that is being passed down from Timothy's grandmother to his mother and then to Timothy himself. Paul gives more emphasis on this in 2 Timothy 3:14, and I'm going to read that from the NIV. I switched a little bit, providing insight into what they imparted in him. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it. And how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. See here, Lois and Eunice provided Timothy with the grounding in the Hebrew Scriptures. And biblical scholars like to believe or have suggested that it was their example of prayer and their example of their witness and their faith that was modeled before him that became central factors in his spiritual development. And this allowed Paul to build upon him. In my life, I have my own Eunice and Lois, my grandmother and my mother. And earlier I giggled because my grandmother's name is Eula. My mother's middle name is Lois, and I just realized it in this moment. But if we can show a quick picture of, see that lady right there with the glasses in the middle? That is my grandmother, Eula Victoria, affectionately known as Big Mama. Though she was probably no taller than probably 4'9". Maybe. And I don't have many memories of her, but what I do know is that she was a daughter of a Baptist pastor, preacher, and she met my great-grandfather, and he was a traveling church musician. Through their marriage, she had 7 kids. And eventually, she would raise those 7 kids alone, moving from her hometown in North Carolina to Florida. She was what we call a seer, someone who God gives revelation through visions and divine revelations, and then they communicate those things to others. She was also a worshiper. She was loyal to her church. She was a strong woman who did not play about her children or her faith. She was small in stature, but she was mighty in spirit. Now, the next picture is my mom. On the first picture, my mom was kind of off to the side without the hat. But this is my mom. The faith roots that her mom instilled in her and her siblings were her foundation. But somewhere around 15 and a half years old, she discovered God for herself. She was invited to a Pentecostal revival by one of her friends. And in that moment, she told me that I gave my life again because I wanted to be Pentecostal. So in that moment, she went from being Baptist to Pentecostal. And she began traveling the southeastern coast as a young evangelist under a spiritual mentor by the name of Ruby Vasquez. Now, Ruby was a woman of wisdom. She trained my mom in the ways of faith. She trained my mom in the things that her mom couldn't train her in as far as walking out ministry. But I want you to see something. Though my grandmother was secure in her foundation and she had placed it in my mom, Ruby came along. She cultivated every gift that was in my mom. She encouraged her to stir up the gift in herself, just as Paul did for Timothy. In verse 1 and 6, it says, "Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hand." Now, Ruby was that. Ruby was the second faith anchor in her life. My mom married. She married my father, who was in between beliefs. I think he tried every religion possible to man. But it was through her faith that he found his own salvation. She has three kids, two bonus children, and because of her faith, she has instilled so much in us. She passed down what she was taught along to all of her children. She herself is a seer, a prayer warrior, a worshiper, and a wisdom giver. And I call on her every chance that I get. To this day, I find myself waking up in the wee hours of the morning, walking through the hall, walking through the bedrooms in our home to pray and anoint my family as they're asleep, because I can't put oil on Pastor Garfield while he's awake. If you guys know, Pastor Garfield has PTSD when it comes to anointing oil. But I have an opportunity to pray over them like I saw my mother do. Her constant praying in the home, praying over us, speaking over us, giving life into us was something that I didn't understand when I was younger, but I totally get it now. She was placing those faith anchors in my life, those things that I can hold on to, those things that can keep me grounded in my faith. And though I have to be honest, I was not the perfect child. I did not walk the straight and narrow road. But it's because of her prayers that were rooted in Proverbs 22 and 6 that never let me go too far. And it simply says, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. As I returned to the place of my foundation, God sent mentors to strengthen and grow me in my own Christian journey and position me for places of ministry. So let's go to this last part of 2 Timothy 1 and 7. This is where Paul gives his encouragement through strong reassurance in Timothy's ability in God concerning his present fear. After all, we are in Mental Health Awareness Month, so I do want to make sure that we address those things. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of sound mind. See, there's no doubt that Timothy may have felt overwhelmed by his mentors impeding execution, the responsibility of the church, the weight of the church, dealing and correcting with people who are probably older than him, and facing the possibility of pending persecution on every turn himself. This was a heavy position. But he had the tools he needed to follow through with it. Paul reminds Timothy of this truth, that despite of his current situations or circumstance, God had it in control. Here are some key points that I want you to take from these scriptures. A mindset characterized by fear, timidity, or anxiety can hinder us from stepping out in faith, fulfilling our call, are even showing up in life. A mindset that is categorized by fear, timidity, and anxiety can hinder us from stepping out in faith, fulfilling our calling, are even showing up in life. Have you ever experienced so much heaviness that one of these three applied to you? Have you been in that place where you just needed God to send you an answer, to anchor you? Well, the scripture said this, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us power, right? That is the ability, the strength, the boldness that comes from the person of the Holy Spirit. And as believers, this power enables us to overcome obstacles, face challenges, and fulfill God's purpose in our life. And then there's this agape love, this unconditional love, this selfish love, selfless love, this sacrificial love. It empowers us as believers to love God and to love others. Even in difficult circumstances. The next part was, is the phrase that's the sound mind. The sound mind carries connotations of self-control, moderation, a disciplined mind. It's about having balance, being well-disciplined, and controlled thought, and having a controlled thought process, rather than being swayed by fear or impulse. This scripture in itself is a reminder that the Holy Spirit empowers us with boldness, love, and a disciplined mind, so that we are confident and effective in our faith, rather than being paralyzed by fear. And if we look back over the scriptures and we hold to the definitions of what I said faith anchors were in the beginning, we will find that Paul is another one of Timothy's faith anchors. This letter that Paul wrote, it was probably not the first time that he had stepped in and spoken to Timothy. It's probably one of many instances where he gave personal encouragement while he was offering guidance and giving reminders of the importance of standing firm in your faith. I understand that we all did not grow up in Christian homes. Some of us are the only ones in our family who are Christian. And I understand that some of you may not have grown up with a biological mother or even a stepmother. These are just examples of what faith anchors look like. It could be a family member, a sister, brother, cousin, uncle, grandmother, great-grandmother, grandfather. It could be a mentor, a pastor, a friend that begin your Christian journey with you and continue to walk with you throughout. It's those who have vowed to continue and to help you stretch yourself, grow in your faith, and stand firm on your faith in times of trouble. For me, though my cornerstone of faith was birthed with my mom, as I reached different stages of my life and being placed in different places or different parts of the world, in different settings and among different people, God also supplied me with additional mentors, additional people to speak into those seasons. Some of my family members, you hear me talk about it all the time, that my sister is one, my husband, of course, is one, but I've also had pastors. I've also had what we call spiritual mothers, spiritual fathers, fellow sisters and brothers in Christ who have been essential to my walk and where I am today. Can you identify some people in your life who are currently your faith anchors? I want you to take a moment and think about it. Go back through your Christian walk before you became Christian. Find those people who have spoke life and truth into you. And it might not be evident of who they are. You might need to continue to think about this afternoon or over this week. But I want you to think about those things. And if you don't have that, this is the house to receive it. You have brothers and sisters in Christ who will walk with you, who will speak with you. You have pastors who will walk with you, who want to see you succeed in life and who want to see you grow as a person in Christ. You know, yesterday we had, they had a senior, I guess it's a banquet, or not a banquet, but a brunch, correct? Talk to me, seniors. It was senior brunch. Yes, senior brunch. We had a senior brunch yesterday, and I had the opportunity to talk to some mothers and fathers. Let me not leave out the fathers. I had an opportunity to speak to some of them yesterday, and I had a conversation with one of the current graduates' mom, and I was thanking her so much for the foundation that her and her family laid for their daughter, because it was evident in the way that she ministers. And she replied and mentioned that something to the effect, and I might not have it perfectly right, because I was speaking into the foundation that she gave. And she said something to the effect that though the foundation is there, where it placed matters. Making sure that it's in the right school to grow. And then she thanked us for being that school. Sometimes we walk around with these faith anchors that have been imparted to in us from childhood or from the time that we decided to give Christ our life. We have those anchors, and sometimes we can't stay in the same place those anchors were. Sometimes we have to uproot our vessel, take our boat, and we have to go to a land that we probably don't know. And then God says, anchor here. But while you're anchoring there, make sure that the soul that you're placing your anchor in is one that can hold you, one that can grow you, one that can solidify or help you carry out everything that has already been poured into you. Make sure of those things. Now, wherever you are right now in your life, as I said before, I need you to do something this week or even in this moment to just reflect on all of those people who come across you in your life, who guided you, who've nurtured you in your faith. And I hope that somewhere along the line you encountered a Paul. I hope somewhere along the line you encountered a Lewis, a Eunice, or even in my mom's instance, a Ruby. I hope that you encounter that. And if you haven't, I pray to God that he will send them. I pray that you find the place to secure your anchor where God has called you, so that when storms come and when situations change, you will remain steadfast. You will recognize the fear is there. It's present in the moment, but you won't allow it to overtake you. As I close out, I'm going to ask the worship team to come forward. I want to leave you with some points. And these points are to help you apply this message, but also help you to be aware of, even this month, Mental Health Awareness Month. But I want you to hold on to these things. Hold on to the scriptures, number one. Hold on to the truth of God. We can get all the counseling in the world, but if we don't have our foundation solid in Christ, they'll just be things to do. So make sure that you are grounding yourself in the word. Yes, reach out, get counseling, seek those things, but make sure, number one, always stay grounded in the word. Number two, I want you to make sure that you recognize and honor those who have been faith anchors in your life, those who have been giving you emotional support or spiritual support, who's giving you a sense of stability. Their presence can influence your well-being. It helps speak into your purpose. And believe it or not, it does help with your mental health. I want you to be able to also embrace generational faith if you have it. If you have it, it's a privilege to hold on to those things, to help you overcome difficulties and to provide you with resilience and things, tools to be able to endure in tough times. If you don't have generational faith, well, start building it yourself. What are you going to leave behind? What spiritual practices and disciplines are you going to develop that you can pass on to the people around you? Not necessarily children, but the people that God is calling you to. How are you going to model your faith before them? Will you be able to be a Lois and a Eunice, modeling what that looks like? And if you're struggling with fear and anxiety, turn to God as He provides power, love, and a sound mind. And also lean into your faith community. As I mentioned before, there are brothers and sisters in Christ who are in the room. Us as your pastors, we are here. Lean into us. Whatever you need, lean into us. We were called here. We're called here for God's purpose to be lived out. And we don't want you to leave this place without stepping into what God has called you to, without receiving the breakthrough that God has for you. We want you to be able to do that. The last thing is just to find rest in God's love. His peace passes all understanding. That is so true. I have, in times of trouble, in times of heartache, in times of despair, in times of I just need to hear from God, when I lean into prayer, the peace of God that passes all understanding comes upon me. And I'm able to walk another day. I'm able to see the beauty in the circumstance. So I'm gonna just pray right now before we go into a time of communion. And I don't know where you are, or, you know, I don't know where your faith journey is. I don't know if you don't know God. I don't know if you're just learning God and you're like, Pastor Mimi, I have no idea how to look for these faith anchors in my life. Talk to me after service. I'm available. God always sends us someone. He always sends someone on our road. He always sends someone to speak life, to help direct us, to correct us, to help us, to unction us to move along. Even when we don't want to. He sends people to even give us a smile in the times that we're having the hard days. Somebody might send you a scripture. You might hear a word over the television, or I guess YouTube now. But God sends a word, sends a song, sends you something that says, I'm here. I'm here. Don't carry this on your own. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. He speaks. We just have to open our ears to hear it. Amen. Heavenly Father, in this moment, Lord, I ask that you will remind us of the faith anchors that have been placed in our lives. That you remind us not only of the people, but of the moments where you were there and we missed you. In the times of heartache and trial, when we thought that you were far from us, but your arms were stretched out wide to receive us and we didn't see it, Lord God, show us those moments. that we may be secure in our faith, that we may be confident of the word that is in your, that's before us, Lord God. Let us not miss any of the times you were there, any of the people that you were that were there, Lord God. And Lord, we ask that, you know, you allow the Holy Spirit just to do a work in us, do a work in our hearts, do a work in our minds. We understand that this is Mental Health Month. Lord God, you have everything in your hands. You know how we were formed in our mother's womb, Lord God. You know the people who you have called to our lives to speak life and hope. We know, you know, Lord God, everything that we need to do in order to step out the calling that you have given us to return back to the place where you created us to be. Lord, in this moment, if there's anybody who's carrying anxiety, who's carrying fear, Lord God, Lord, I ask for the Holy Spirit right now to speak to their hearts, to speak to their minds, Lord God. Remind them of your peace. Remind them of your joy, Lord God. Remind them of the strength that they have in you, Lord God. Let them not be wavering in their faith, Lord God, but let them stand firm on what your word, your truth. And Lord, we thank you for it. I thank you for everyone that is in this building, Lord God, because we all go through times, Lord God, but you are our strength and you send others around us to strengthen us. So Lord, we thank you for that. We give you praise for the word that was gone forth today and a reminder of who you are and the faith anchors that, what they look like. Lord, I ask you give peace to everyone who needs peace. Give strength to everyone who needs strength. Give confidence to those who need confidence, Lord God. Transform them in this very moment that they do not walk out here the same way that they entered, Lord God, and they do not pick up whatever they leave in this moment with them when they leave. Lord, we thank you. Abba, Father, I thank you. I give you praise and glory in Jesus' holy name. Amen and amen.